Hi everybody, I'm Bob, I'm a compulsive overeater. And food addict. I have some pictures. I have some wonderful pictures of from when I was a child and when I had lost weight through dieting and then gained weight. And then some pictures of who I am now, because I was told that I should celebrate who I am now and show some pictures currently. So I have some pictures of me now and some service I did in a very odd way. I was asked to help the World Service Convention in Philadelphia 3 years ago. We did a skit, and you'll see me dressed up as Legolas, because we did a skit where I was the tall person who they needed a tall person, and I could, you know, fit in a costume. So I was that. I was Legolas. So you'll have to see those pictures as well. So I'll pass these, and I'll pass. This is one picture. So, you know, in case that takes a while, this is a picture of who I was before program. So, I'm very honored to be here, first off. This is not like me to do something like this. This is not something that I do very often. This is the first time I've come and led a whole weekend on a retreat. But I have been keynote speakers at other retreats. But I got to say that I'm just like every one of you here in this room. There are no stars in OA, and I'm just here to share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm very excited to see such a wide range of people, people who have been 20 days, 50 days, 37 years. That is totally awesome. I came into program November 3rd, 2003. Didn't quite get it at that point. I found a sponsor and found how on March 11, 2004, and that's been my abstinence state since then. I live in southern New Jersey, and we have a South Jersey intergroup there. It's a great place to live, and I'm so fortunate to be there. We have over 30 meetings in our intergroup alone. But I live so close to other intergroups. There's Philadelphia area intergroup, and they have another 30 meetings, and I'm within that area. We also have four other intergroups in New Jersey, so we are very fortunate, because I know in several areas throughout the country and throughout the world, when I went to World Service Business Conference this year, there was a woman in tears there at a regular OA meeting that we had in the morning. She was in tears because there was about 40 people in the room, and she's never been to a meeting that large, largest meeting. She was from England, and says, I go to meetings where there's 3 to 5 people. So this was so touching for me. So I'm very fortunate to be in that area, and I'm in Region 7 there, and we have a very strong region. I'm very grateful for that. Before OA, I guess I'll start back from when I was a youngster. I am the youngest of 7, and that in itself is a challenge. But being from a large Italian family as well, it makes it even a little more difficult. So food was around constantly. But more than that, what it was food was a way for me to connect with family. It was something that was an expectation to eat. And food made my grandmother, my aunt, it made them happy when I ate. So I learned from a very young age that was an expectation of me. And I gladly seized that and ran with it, because I love to eat. And it was just something that I said. I'm a good eater. They said that, and they love to come up and pinch my fat, chubby cheeks too. And that was something that I enjoyed when I was that age. Of course, when I got older, I got a conflicting message from my family. It was eat, 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 and mangia, they would say in Italian. Now, as I was getting older, that I was getting heavier. So it would be the, well, you know, Bob, you're getting a little chunky there. You're getting a little heavy. Maybe you should start losing some weight. The next day was Thanksgiving, and there was a feast, and if I didn't eat my share and clean my plate, I would get ridiculed for that too. So I grew up in that manner. It was very tough for me to challenge, challenge my family, but also to accept who I was, because I was trying to please other people through food. So as I grew up, I blamed my parents. And even when I joined OA, when I thought back, I started out by blaming my parents for my disease. Because as I got older and the family started moving out of the house, if you've been around Italian families, they don't cook any less. If there's less people there, they still cook as many people as, you know. So when there was two people left, you know, my one brother and my parents, my mom and dad still cooked for nine. So, and I still ate for the other seven that left, you know. So that was constantly there. So I would blame them for making too much food. I mean, it was never about me, of course. It was about them. So, but growing up in that family, I was a follower and a people pleaser because of that. So I didn't ever want to take full responsibility for things, or I didn't want to actually take the lead on things, which became a character defect of mine. So I was always willing to be the support person. I was always willing to do something to help somebody else and to please them, because I held open doors, which was great. I mean, I did those type of things. But as I got older, I would do things that were hurtful to myself just to please somebody else, whether it was to say something derogatory about myself, which I did. I called myself fat, or if it was just simply to do something that I normally would not do, just because I wanted to please somebody else. So I really didn't have a good sense of self. So as I got a little bit older, doing schoolwork and things, became a very bad pattern that I would do my homework in front of the TV, and that was isolating. My parents didn't do anything about it because I got straight A's. So it didn't make it right, but it made it okay, because my grades were still good. But as I was doing that, I would hit the snack area, and I would constantly go to the freezer. And I found that even at an early age, I was eating snack cakes frozen. Didn't matter what they were. It was I was eating them, and I was hiding the wrappers under the couch. Eventually, I got caught. Still didn't stop me. I was sharing earlier today that one thing that did start stopping me was that I left the freezer door open one time, and the whole, you know, everything in there, all the meat, everything spoiled, and obviously I didn't take the blame for that either. It must have been one of the other guys, one of my other brothers or sisters, but it was me. And actually, that still is a compulsion that I have, that even now today, when I lock doors, I tug on it three times because I want to make sure it's closed. Which is pretty funny that you still carry your compulsions. But I accept who I am and accept what I did now, and I did apologize later on to my family and did admit that it was me. But, you know, the wrappers, I didn't know what that meant, having the wrappers. It was just, you know, it was what it was. But I couldn't control my eating, and there was no way that dieting was going to work for me. Although I tried it, and you can see in the pictures, it worked sometimes. So I went through high school, and during high school, I needed to lose weight to play football. So I was told to lose weight. So I consider myself an exercise bulimic because there are times in my life where I ate very little. And I lived on shakes because that's what my mom said to try, you know, and all these different, you know, candies and things, weight loss candies, and, you know, try this and try that, and I would do that. But I would also exercise to the umpteenth degree, and I would play basketball, and, you know, I would be lightheaded. I didn't realize these things was low sugar until later on in life, but that's actually what I was doing. I was depriving my body of the needed energy, and I could have passed out. And it was not a good way to be, but it was certainly what I was doing because I thought that was right. Society said I needed to be thinner, and I needed to make the football team, and I needed to do this, and I needed to, in order to I had trouble meeting girls, and for relationship reasons, I needed to do these things. So that's what I did. So I lost weight several times, and through college it was okay. My weight was okay, and then right after that, I got married in '93 to a wonderful woman who I've been married to almost 17 years. It'll be 17 years this month. Not long after that, we had our first child 3 years later. And at the same time, I started a very stressful job, and hence I found out that I am a very emotional eater, and the biggest emotion that I have is stress. So I started working a job where I was a finance officer at a distressed city, and the stress level was very high to try to balance the budget and all of that. Worked a lot of hours, and I hit the food constantly. First child syndrome, where it was a tough time of life for me because I didn't spend much time at home, and I was, as a new father, didn't know what to do. So I ate. I just ate and ate and ate. And you can see some of the pictures where I started ballooning up, and my top weight was 300 pounds. And you know, I'm grateful now, you know, I didn't qualify to a weight loss. You know, I've been absent for 6 years and given away 120 pounds. So I'm grateful for that. But during that time in my life, I didn't know what was going on. And I really, really needed help, but didn't know what to do. God did, though. God always sent me messages. So in 97, his first message to me, let me back up. I'll go back to my childhood. God's first message to me, which I didn't realize was a message, was an anxiety attack that I had at the age of 18. I was working, and I had this attack in my chest, but the reason why I had it was because I was holding things in. I was a person that I needed to talk to my mom, always shared with my mom a lot of things that was going on in my life. Well, I wanted to go away for the summer to work. I just graduated high school, and I wanted to go down the shore and work for the summer and stay at a friend's house. And my brothers told me, don't do that. Everyone just left the house and you're the only one home, and you're going to leave, you know, mom and dad alone. So why would you do that? I started feeling guilty about that, but I really wanted to go. But I couldn't share it with my mom because she was the very person that I was hurting. So I held all that inside, and then one day I just totally broke down and passed out. So went to the hospital. Obviously everything turned out okay. But it taught me a very, very valuable lesson that I can't hold things inside. I can't hide them. And it carries forward to now when I'm working the steps. You know, I can't hold things inside. It's going to eat away at me. And eventually, something terrible is going to happen. And that's what happened then. So I was grateful at the age of 18 to learn a lesson that I really can't hold things inside anymore. I got to get them out. So flashing forward back into 97, first child, I was 300 pounds. I got this pain in my chest, and I got a shooting pain down my arm. And I said, okay, this sounds like a heart attack to me, feels like it. So I went to the doctor, and I have to laugh because, and I can tell you all of this because this is what he did to me. He pushed on my chest so hard it made me scream at the top of my lungs. And he said, "You don't have a heart attack." I said, "Thanks, doc. What did you do that for?" He said, "If you can recreate the pain by pushing on your chest, it's not a heart attack, because you can't recreate the pain." I said, "Okay, I don't care about that. What is going on? Why did you do that?" He said, "Your muscle around your heart is contracting and is causing the pain. And you have hypertension, and you have high stress, and you need to do something about your weight." "Thanks, doc. Okay, great." So I said, "Well, I need to do something." Granted. So what do? He sent me to a nutritionist, and I learned how to eat. And I was grateful for that. I wasn't in program. So I lost 65 pounds, and I was doing very well. And as soon as I lost that 65 pounds, I started right back up. I didn't know how to live, quote unquote, normally. I mean, I knew how to lose weight, I knew how to gain weight. I knew how to lose weight, knew how to gain weight. I didn't know, however, how to stay the same. You know, I'm sure like you had different, you know, clothes, you know, this size, at least three different sizes, because that's just the way I always was. So I lost the weight, and what I'm grateful for is that I knew the proper way to eat. I eat that same way now that I did in 97. I just didn't know what to do with it. Because it, as you know now, it's not just about the food. So I learned then that just the food plan alone is not going to save me. So I gained the weight right back. This time, however, I couldn't lose it anymore. The willingness had gone. It was almost like that was my last shot, because I knew what I needed to do, but I just didn't have the willingness to try it again, because I had failed. So I didn't know what to do, so I just kept being this 300-pound man for several years. And I tried the quick fixes. I tried the escapes. The quick fix by saying to other friends, "You know what? Why don't we go on a diet together? Why don't we, you know, for every pound that we lose, why don't we give a dollar to charity?" And they were starting to lose, and they were saying, "Well, how much do we got in our charity? But whatever happened to this, to doing this?" And I said, "You know what? I wasn't able to do it. Too much going on in my life. I couldn't do it right now." So I would make every excuse, but I was powerless and didn't know it. I was totally defeated. So what I would do, I would mask my feelings. I would act like I was happy. I would act like, you know, everything's fine. I'm doing just great. Inside, I was dying. But I was the happy-go-lucky person, you know, and I would go out and do these wild, crazy things. It just wasn't me. I don't do those crazy things now. But back then, I felt I had to do something because everybody, you know, I had to impress people, you know, and I had to be the Bob, the exciting Bob. I had to be the work Bob. I had to put all these different masks on. I had to be the family Bob. But all of these different Bobs never connected. You know, I was always other people. I was always a different person for someone else. You know, I had to please them even in just the way who I was. So when I think about it, many, many years, I didn't know who the heck I was, because I was always looking at life through someone else instead of my own. So one day, sitting totally defeated, not liking who I was, a friend said, "You don't look very happy." And I said, "I'm not. You know, I really don't like the person I am right now, I don't like this, and then grabbing at my fat. And I just want to cut it off with a pair of scissors. I just want to be rid of it. And she said to me, "You might have a problem." I said, "Yeah, I guess I might, but what's the deal?" And she says, "Well, you know what? I'm an AA, and they have this program called Overeaters Anonymous." I said, "I never heard of Overeaters Anonymous. What's that all about?" "Well, you know, it's a 12-step program." Whoa, that was enough for me. The only experience I had with 12 steps was my nephew, when I was 7 years old, he was five. And I'm sorry, probably, you know, we were both young. We were both in our teens, I'm sorry. He was in a 12-step program for alcohol. And drugs, and he was pretty bad. I said, I'm not that bad. And this is food. You know, I should be able to I'm a man. I should be able to handle this. You know, men, you know, shouldn't be defeated by food. You know, so I listened, but I didn't listen. I heard her, and I said, "You know what? That's not for me. Not right now. Maybe later. Let me try this one last diet." You know, 3 years later, it took me 3 years. That's why, you know, when anybody talks to me, or when I talk to anybody else, you never know what you're going to say. You plant that seed, and 3 years later, they could find OA. Because that's exactly what happened to me. It took me 3 years to wake up and to realize that this just wasn't working. So for 3 years, I battled depression. For 3 years, I did not, you know what to do other than just keep on keeping on. So finally one day, after a binge on a Sunday football, loved my football, you know, we hung out with the guys and we did the whole smorgasbord type thing. We would just eat and eat and eat. In fact, I was called one of the front linemen where, you know, in the football team, you know, one of the big guys. And I was proud of it. I was, you know, and I was sporty. We would see how many plates that we could eat at a buffet. And if you didn't eat your share, you would be picked on for not eating enough. That was fun. We would, you know, drink a gallon of water just because we could, you know, and race. It was just stupid stuff. You know, it all got tired, though, when, you know, on Monday morning, I was all alone, hating myself. Finally, I admitted my hate to my wife and said I need to do something. So I looked up OA that I heard about 3 years prior, and I looked it up on the website. And that's why I'm very fond of my first service position at Intergroup was website chair, because it was so important to me that I found OA in that way. I'm always the kind of guy who does the research, you know, behind the scenes, you know, doesn't want to ask somebody for help, you know, directions, whatever it is, you know, but I have to look it up on the website. You know, that would work for me. I can do that. Yeah, it's anonymous. So I did that, and I found the meeting. And I got up, and I went to it. And I was so proud of myself, because I'm not that kind of guy. You know, I'm an introvert, and I don't really like to go out on a limb if I don't have to. So I went to the meeting, and whew, I had tears in my eyes when I walked out of there. I heard so much that I needed to hear. I heard that there were mostly women in the room, but I heard from these women so much recovery, so much strength, and something about a higher power I didn't quite understand at that point. But you know what? You know, they didn't look quite as heavy as I did, and I have a little bit of hope that maybe they can help me lose this weight, and I don't know what they got, but they got something better than I did, and I got a little tingle inside. So let me try this again. So I kept coming back, but I didn't do anything else. All I did was go to this meeting, but it was something. And I started my diet. I started eating right. So I didn't know if that was abstinence. I didn't know what it was at that point. It was brand new. Funny you mentioned 20 days. 20 days later was Thanksgiving. And I was invited to go to what's called a gratitude meeting that I've been to several times since. And it's a wonderful, wonderful meeting. There was 100 people in the room, and I had been to meetings which had about 10 or 15 or 20. I was kind of amazed that there were many people, and that many people in OA at that time. I didn't know a soul, but there was so much strength and recovery in that room, and I was so glad I went. But it was a little angel who said, "Why don't you come?" So, but then I had to go eat that day, and I said, my first big meal going to my mom's house, and you know, the 7-course Italian meal is going to be there, and I know it is, so I'm going to get through this day. You know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to bring my bottle of wine, my favorite bottle of wine, and I'm going to get through this. So I put it on the table. That's how I got through that day. You know, later on, I realized that I'm fueling one addiction, you know, escaping to another addiction, you know, but it got me through what I needed to get through. But I wasn't working the program. I was working some type of food plan at that point. I didn't, again, know what I was doing, but I was in OA. I went to a Cub Scout event that we had, and I just so happened to volunteer to be the person who oversaw the desserts contest. And so everybody made their red, white, and blue stuff, and it was all great, and it all went very well. Until, you know, as the big book says, you know, maybe just, you know, slipping a shot of whiskey into this glass of milk, you know, maybe that'd be okay. So I had the one dessert, because, you know, hey, I deserved it. I ran this whole contest, right? You know, what's that going to hurt? So that was the start of many other desserts that I ate that night. And what a valuable lesson. That's all I can say, is that it's a growth opportunity now to have something like that happen. Because I had such poison in my body, the sugar just took control over my body at that time. I was uncontrollable. I did not want to be in my skin. I did not want to be with my family. I wanted to isolate. I wanted to get the heck away from everybody immediately. And I had to live with that poison in my body for several hours. I knew that that was messing me up. That was such a drug that I later knew that I was addicted to sugar. I didn't know it then, but obviously that was a good indication that that is just now it's like putting poison in my body. That is exactly what it felt like at that time. So still kept going to this one meeting until finally another angel said, "You know what? There are many men coming to this meeting. Maybe you should try another meeting, Bob." So that's what I did. And the angel said, "Why don't you come with me to intergroup? There are several men that go to intergroup." So I went with her to intergroup. And lucky me, she introduced me to a couple of men. And the one that I chose happened to be a house sponsor. Didn't know what how it was, didn't care. It was a man. He was breathing. He was willing to be my sponsor. That's all that mattered to me. I didn't care about sugar, flour, weighing and measuring, nothing. I didn't care. All I cared about is that I had a sponsor, and I was totally defeated, and I needed help. And I was ready and willing to do whatever it took. And that is a blessing. That is God's blessing to me, you know, through that picking up sugar or whatever, you know. What happened a month prior to that, though? And I'm going to read something from what I wrote. A month prior to that, I was still deciding on what I was going to do. I needed to find a sponsor. I needed to work this program. I went out and bought books. I bought literature off of the OA website again. And I'm a good person to get what I need, get the books. But doing it after, not so much. So the books sat. But I had them. Does that count? So I had my 12 and 12, and I had the workbook. And a friend from church asked me to go on this men's spiritual retreat. And you talk about what's blocking you. I was blocked from God. There was no doubt about it. I knew who God was. I prayed to God. I went to church every Sunday. And I had a decent relationship with God. But when I was going through my stressful events, years prior in 97, God wasn't my higher power. Money was. Absolutely. And if it wasn't money, it was food. Because food was my best friend. So I went on this retreat, and I was able to do, they have what's called confession. So it was basically is a fifth step with a priest. So I was able to do this. It's something that I've been, you know, I talked to you earlier about the anxiety attack, holding things in. Well, this is basically the same thing. I had not done this in my faith since I was about 18 years old. And here I am, 35. Been a really long time holding all this stuff inside. So what a breakthrough that was to do that fifth step with a priest. And I tell you what, it was so small. All I did was go up and I said like three lines because there was a line behind me. I didn't care. It was something. It was progress. It felt like I had the weight of my shoulders pulled off. And I went back to my room that night and I opened this book. And I'm going to read what I wrote. It's dated February 13, 2004. I am powerless over food. I am, and I know it. I belong in OA, and I know. Thank God for OA, for people who share and know what I go through with food. The food calling me, or I deserve to eat that. It's my reward. That's mine. Sport eating. Eating for the fun of it, even though I'm not hungry. Only to later feel terrible, fat, overweight, and guilty, pulling at my love handles, wishing they would go away. And I would, poof, be magically thin. Depression about being overweight and the all too familiar, I don't care anymore attitude, and I'm going to eat now to make myself feel better when nothing is further from the truth. I would still beat myself up later for that binge. My life has become unmanageable, low self-esteem, shy around others. My weight affected my moods, or discouraged myself from doing certain things, which I constantly did. That would prevent me from joining friends just because maybe my clothes weren't fitting right, whatever it was. It stopped me from so much in my life. Resentment toward kids for my own kids interrupting my binge because they were crying or something like that in their crib, right? As a child, I remember hiding treat wrappers under the couch downstairs. Late night convenience store runs, we called it midnight runs with my friends, refrigerator raids. Going to friend's house and picking my friends who I was going to go to that day and play with them when I was a child by what they were going to offer me to eat. By what they said, this is a snack we're going to eat. So why don't you come over and play with me today, Bobby? And that's how I would choose my friends to go. And then I would eat two lunches or two dinners. That's what I wrote. And that started the willingness to work the steps. And getting a sponsor and working the steps was the best thing that ever happened to me. Without that, I wouldn't be here today. Because I know I would have relapsed. Working a food plan, how, not, whatever it was, it wasn't going to work for me. I had a hole in my soul that food could never fill. And what I was doing with diets, and diets never worked for me, was because I was restricting the very thing that I needed to survive. It was my lifeline. Food was my friend. You're taking the very thing I need to survive, and I'm not replacing it with anything. That's what diets were. And that's what I finally understood, why this was never working. I was beating my head against the wall, but I wasn't replacing it with anything. So eventually, I'm going to tire of this and go right back to what worked to give me escape, to give me the ease and comfort. Without working the steps, without having a sponsor, without getting to know a higher power, it would never have worked. So I started on my journey. I started working the steps with a sponsor. And it was, you know, tearful, painful. Didn't like every moment of it. I needed every moment of it. There were times when they talk about in the big book about having a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience. I remember a God moment. And it was just a small moment, but it isn't a small moment if you don't forget it. I was driving in a car, writing my, and how we do questions. We write our first three steps by doing 30 questions. That's how we do it in Jersey anyway. And so I'm writing my 30 questions, and one of the questions was talking about, I don't know what the question was. It doesn't really matter. All I know is I was overwhelmed with a feeling of my higher power being with me as I'm writing this down. And my pen, I had to stop writing, and I filled up with tears and started crying. Knowing, and I'm getting chills now thinking about it because that's exactly how I felt then, knowing that I wasn't doing this alone. There was a presence of a higher power with me. And it's a totally new higher power. It wasn't the God that I knew then, you know. And I pray every morning, you know, to God to not let me define you and not let me define myself, because I don't want to limit you and I don't want to limit myself, because I know that you, that with God anything is possible. With you by my side, anything is possible. You know, shedding 120 pounds, I didn't expect to lose that much weight. But that's nothing in comparison to what God has done in my life and the fact that I'm a brand new person. I had to, one of the toughest part was I mentioned about the whole plateau thing, losing the 65 pounds and gaining it again. When I lost 120 pounds, I didn't know how to stop either. When I started HOW, I adopted my sponsor's food plan, and when I started, he said, you know, do you have a problem with sugar and flours? I don't know, I don't. He said, we'll try it for one day. Sure, I can try it for one day. And I tried it for a second day, and a third day, and after about a week, my head started feeling different. In a good way. It was like, it was just, this cloud was lifting, the fog was just lifting, and things were becoming clearer. That's the only way I can explain it. When I took the sugar and the flour away, that's what was happening. So I was like, well, you know what, I'm going to keep doing this because it just feels okay. Even though I don't really like the fact that I may never have certain products and things, you know, that I've been having, you know, all my life, I'm going to keep trying this. And that's what I did. I just kept doing it. So I started losing weight. And I didn't go to nutrition at this point because I was using a plan that my sponsor had. He went to a nutritionist. And I said, that works, right? And it did. It actually did. And I lost weight. And I kept losing weight. And I kept losing weight. And I kept losing weight. And I was working the steps. And that mattered. So as I'm doing all this, after the year was up, I had gone below my weight from marriage, gone below the weight probably when I was in eighth grade. I don't know. Because I just, I went below 200 pounds and I said, whoa, uncharted territory here. And I did. I got down to 172 pounds. And my parents, who love them to death and they love me, they kept saying when I was at 250, you're too thin. What's going on with you? Now I'm at 172 and they're, you know, ape. And I said the same thing I was saying. I'm eating the same thing I ate eating today that I did a year ago. I'm eating my 5 ounces, 10 ounces. I'm eating those portions. I'm weighing and measuring. I'm doing what I need to do. Until someone in OA came up to me and said, another little angel, said, I think you're a little too thin, Bob. Do you think you might want to go see a nutritionist and check it out? And that scared me. Someone who's been a long timer in OA comes up to me and says that. And if you look at one of my pictures, I think I had Easter eggs or something in there with my children. That was when I was 172. I was pretty thin. But you know what? I was thriving off of losing weight. I did that well. And if you can relate, I felt good losing weight. I felt good that what the number kept going down. I didn't want it to ever go back up. And that's why I consider myself an exercise bulimic, because you get that thrill from losing weight. I don't know how to plateau. So that's where I needed expert help. So I went to a nutritionist, and sure enough, she said, your range should be 172 to 192. You're at the low end of your range. You're okay, but you need to gain weight. Whoa, I need to gain weight? You said what? Gain weight? So, it's part of my story. I had to gain weight. And I'd do it abstinently. And I did it. I did it abstinently. You know, she tweaked it. I only went to her once. And I was calling in my food. It worked out great. You know, I was so happy that I could do something radical as that. And my complexion, everything changed. I had lost weight. And when you lose weight, you are going to look pretty pale. But it was amazing that, you know, I had the ability to work with others to do what I needed to do. But I needed expert help, and I got it. So the weight was gone. Problems are still there. So working the steps, the problems started to dissipate, which is amazing. You know, so some of the other problems that come up. Losing the weight, I'm a new person. I don't know who I am. I have to redefine who I am. Because I am a fat head in a thinner body. Because I still looked in the mirror and saw a 300-pound man. And that was a problem. Because you know, I didn't accept myself in my new body. You know, I loved that I looked good, but I didn't know what that meant. So with that came a brand new attitude. So I was able to look at my life and say, okay, God, what do you have in store for me? So I started looking at my activities and the service that I did. And I told you I like to do service. And sometimes I got to wonder if I'm doing service for the name, for the ego effect, or if I'm really doing it because, you know, I think it's worthwhile service. But not until that I actually say, why am I doing this? And am I doing it because I think it's God's will for me? That's when I was really the difference. So when I do service now, first of all, I run things by my wife, who is my service sponsor. So I know if it's okay with her, then I talk to my sponsor about it too, of course. But it's affecting her too. It's affecting the family. It's affecting her. I think I can do anything, as long as God's with me. But realistically, can I do everything? No. Bob can't do everything. So I check with her, and I'm grateful that I can do that. So I guess I want to kind of, you know, start tying this up a little bit anyway. I'll tell you what I do, my daily routine. I wake up in the morning and I pray. And I hit my knees now. You know, I ask God for direction in my life. I ask for His will for me today. And I mean it, that I surrender. God, I surrender. And I have to surrender daily. If I don't surrender every day, I really do believe that I can pick up at any moment in time and I will be that 300-pound man in a second. There's no doubt about it. You know, I don't care if I have 6 years. I don't care if I have 600 years of abstinence. It is only one day at a time. And I'm grateful that you're all here and we're all abstinent together. You know, we can learn from each other and we can do things because I don't know everything and I don't do things perfectly. But together we can learn new and different ways that it's going to work for each of us. I have a lot of sponsees, a lot, too many. But I get calls from them. And I tell you what, it's part of the highlight of my day because I have a variety of sponsees. I have sponsees who are older than me. I think they're all older than me, actually, which is kind of weird. But several of them have more years in OA than I do, too. And I have some newcomers. So it's wild because I'm learning from some of them and what they do. So that's the gift that I get from sponsoring, is that I really do get so much from them. And I like the first thing in the morning call, you know. I kiss my wife, I take a call from a sponsee. That's just what I do. You know, it's a beautiful thing. But I call my sponsor every day, and not everybody does. You know, I need to. Because if I don't, it feels like my day isn't complete. You know, I expect my sponsees to call me, and I got to call my sponsor. You know, because if I'm not giving my food over to my higher power and to my sponsor, it feels like I'm cheating my program. I need to work that too, and I also need to tell them that I'm working the steps. You know, that's what I need to be doing. So I work in the HAL program. I do weigh and measure my food. And I love it. You think that's crazy, and I'll show you my scale later. It's a big sucker. It's a big food scale. And I used to have a small one, and I used to go out to eat at lunch. And, you know, some people don't bring their scales. I do. I used to bring my small one. I used to kind of hide it over here. Nobody, you know, I don't want anybody to see me. You know what now? Got my big sucker. I don't care. I go to weddings. I don't care. I bring my scale. You know what? You know, it's just so wonderful because, you know, weighing my food is first of all, it's such freedom. Because I am able to say I had exactly the right amount. I had exactly what I need. And you know what? Right up here, this isn't going to drive me crazy anymore. My head would always tell me, maybe you should have a little bit more. You sure you had enough? Or you're eating too much was more likely. When I was dieting, my portions got way small. And when you restrict, you're eventually going to cave and eat on the other end and have a big binge on the other side. And that's what I used to do. So now I used to say, I found out during this 97 episode that I was hypoglycemic. And that means that I was eating all the wrong types of foods, all the carbs, and then I got more insulin, which shot back at, you know, too much insulin would shoot to combat that. That's what hypoglycemia meant, is that because I was eating the wrong foods, my sugar level would go low very rapidly because too much insulin was being shot in. So the only way to combat that was to eat more food. So in my head, I got low blood sugar, I got to eat more. So when I found out what that was, and by going to a nutritionist, I learned to eat the proper foods, the hypoglycemia started to go away. And eventually, yes, it did go away totally when I was in program. And I'm very grateful for that. But that mentality, my sugar is going low, I need to eat, never left me. So that's why I'm so grateful for weighing and measuring, because I could always use the excuse, that my sugar is going low. But I can't use that excuse now when I weigh and measure and I eat between 3 to 5 hours. So I know if I'm doing that, I'm eating the right foods, my body is getting what it needs, it metabolizes, and it's a machine. So I'm giving myself food that I like, first of all. I still can like my food. You know, I'm not a machine that doesn't like food. I still like food, but I'm getting what I need, and it is nutrition and it's nourishment. And it's changed the way I think about food. I really have. But... Okay, great. Thank you. So, that is such freedom. Bringing the scale is, and I told you I bring it to weddings, I bring it all over the place. You know what happens? Is that eventually someone asks the question, why are you doing that? And it's a conversation piece. A scale, a conversation piece? Yes, it is. It's a way to 12-step people. Because people ask, and if they keep talking about it, and eventually they say to me, you know, I should do something about my weight. You know, when I bring my nice salad, when I go places, and they're eating fast food, and I'm of course bringing my food with me when we're going to whatever place, and you know they're bringing their food, and they look at what I have, and they're like, wow, that looks great. And I just smile and say, yeah, it is. I mean, I'm doing what I need to do, and I'm preparing and bringing my wonderful salads, and I'm eating them. So by being just who I am and not trying to hide things anymore, I find I'm able to connect with more people. So it's a wonderful thing, and I'm not afraid to say that I'm an OA to anybody. You know, and I'm not afraid to carry a scale around. That's just what I need to do. I stopped worrying about what other people thought a long time ago. And I've only been in program 6.5 years, but it's amazing. When I stopped letting things block me, one, from my higher power, but two, from things that just felt right, because I know God's working through me when something happens during the day and it just feels in my gut wrong, I'm able to say, maybe I shouldn't make that decision. So I like the fact that I can live my life, and I like the fact that I know that I have good feelings, a lot more good feelings than I used to have about myself. And there's always fear that creeps up. I have certain issues, clutter being one of them, procrastination. There's those things that I'm working on. I'm not perfect. But you know what? Most of my day is happy, joyous, and free each day. And it can be. It's a choice that I have to make. It's a choice. I can make a choice to be happy today. I can make a choice to be abstinent today. And I can do that by making the choice of working the steps today. And for me, if I take my program for granted, if I take the steps for granted, it will all come crashing down. I'm building a foundation with each day I'm abstinent. I'm building a foundation by every tool that I do, every step writing that I do, every phone call I make, every sponsor I help. But every time I take any of that for granted and say, I don't need to call my sponsor today, I don't need to weigh and measure just this one time, I don't need to do this, I don't need to do that, those bricks will come out, each one by one, and the foundation will crumble. And I'm a 300-pound man again. And I don't want that to happen. So that's a choice that I have to make. I can work the steps, and I can continue learning and teaching and growing. Or I cannot, and I can go right back to where I was. And I want to live in the present. You know, I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to repeat the past. And I don't have to. Somebody told me one day, relapse doesn't have to be part of your story. And I said, okay, well, I don't know what that really means. Well, it just means you don't have to look back. And you don't have to not make the choice that I need to make. You know, I need to make good decisions. So, to for today I read today was wonderful. It says, I do not demand perfection for myself nor others, and I treat myself like I treat others with love and tolerance. And that's the message, that's paraphrased, but it was wonderful. So that's the way I can treat myself today, with love and tolerance. I don't demand perfection. I do have expectations, and that is something which is very damaging. You know, it will lead to a resentment. And so what's wonderful about my day is that, you know, I go to work and come back home and I have my family time, but I make sure I have time for prayer. And I make sure I have time for my 10th step each day. I know some of you are not on a 10th step, and that's fine. But the point is that I review my day each day, and I take the time to say, what did I do well and what did I not do so well? Do I need to make an amends for something? And if I do, usually I know about it before I do my 10th step, and I have to do something about it because I get that gut feeling like maybe that wasn't a good decision I just made. But by writing my 10th step, and I do have a journal that I write it in. It's a journal that our inner group created as a fundraiser, and it's a wonderful thing. I have one with me I can show you. It's a great thing because I actually write it, and when I write it and I put it down on paper, I can let go of it. And I sleep like a baby. I haven't slept like this in years. You know, it's just amazing that I can go, I put my head on a pillow, and I wake up in the morning and say, wow. And if I had things that I still needed to do, amends I need to make, I can still make them. But by putting them down on paper, I'm not thinking about them, and that's what would kill me at night. I would constantly think about the things that I should have done. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. But I wouldn't write them down. By writing them down and putting the feelings down on paper, it was amazing. So, talking a little bit about unity, we're going to talk more about it tomorrow, but I am so glad that I have a place to go to in the meetings today, that I can share my feelings, and I know it's not going to go anywhere. The anonymity is so key for me. When I first started sharing at meetings, I couldn't open up my mouth. I was so petrified at first off, but then I just didn't want to share anything about me because I didn't have that trust. And that trust grew. And I went to different meetings, and I actually went to a men's meeting first for the guys that are out there. I couldn't share it at a regular meeting. They were all women. They all had great shares. I couldn't top that. I could never do that. Went to a men's meeting. We were cursing. We were doing that. We were all just letting it go. I didn't go back to the other meetings and do that, but I did learn how to share. I opened my mouth, and that was the key. And I told you I'm an introvert, and to get up here and speak like I am now is truly amazing, and what a gift from God. You know, God tricked me, you know, putting me in the HOW program. You go through the first three steps, and then you step up, and then you got to be a speaker at a meeting, because that's what you do. And then you got to start sponsoring. Well, that was no trick. That's growth. You know, and by getting up and speaking, first time I ever spoke, just got up and shared at a HOW meeting, I was dripping, dripping wet. And if you were with me in college when I had to do public speaking, I got so shook up, I had to cancel one day because I was sweating so much. For me to be able to do this now is truly amazing, you know. And it is such a gift from God. But what God's gift, and his other trick was, by speaking, you are sharing something about yourself to other people. Other people naturally want to come up and share their experiences with you and how you said something that they might have connected with, right? They introduce themselves. I'm an introvert. I have a hard time meeting people. God's gift to me was having people come up to me, introduce themselves, and now I have new friends. That was his gift to me. So when I went back to that Thanksgiving meeting the second year and the third year and the fourth year, that gratitude meeting, I knew more and more and more and more people. And now my family just grew. You understand me like no one in my family understands me. My parents still don't understand me. But that's okay. They've accepted me, and that's okay. But you guys get it. You guys have what I have. You have the disease that I have. And it is a disease. And I, you know, I'm able to say that I'm not the disease, but I do have it. And I can do something about it. You know, but I'm not a bad person. I make mistakes, but I am not that mistake. So I'm going to close with that. I'm praying that, you know, we get what we need this weekend. If you don't have a sponsor, get one. If you are a person who can be a sponsor and just kind of unsure about being one, be one. You know, and if you're not working the steps, work it. That's really what it comes down to. That's what I need to do each day. So, and with that, I say thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.